Back in Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16. We'll be looking at the ninth of the Ten Commandments tonight. Exodus 20, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This commandment, like the preceding commandment, the last several from verse 13 on down, has just been very brief, straightforward, to the point, not hard to understand, crystal clear, but yet we'll try to give commentary on it. You might not learn anything new tonight that you didn't know, but some of the most beneficial things in life is not always hearing something new, but being reminded of something old, something that you already knew. The ninth commandment tells us explicitly that we're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. To bear false witness, it's in its purest form, that's legal terminology, but what it means is don't lie on your neighbor. Don't lie on your neighbor. And if you want to figure out who your neighbor is, you have to turn and look and see what the board said about that. There was a fellow asked the Lord that question one time, "Who's my neighbor?" He wanted to know in a physical proximity, is it everybody within a quarter mile or half a mile? And the Lord made it crystal clear to him that he could just go ahead and consider anybody his neighbor. And so we're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. I said that it deals firstly with, in legal terminology, it's dealing firstly with legal perjury. That's what it is. That's what it would be called if you were in court, if you were a witness on the stand and you told a lie under oath, they would say that you committed perjury. And so this is the law, and it's a legal term. It's legal terminology. You're not to lie, not to bear false witness to your neighbor. But then it extends much further than that. It's really a mandate to absolute truthfulness. It's a mandate to absolute truthfulness. The purpose is protecting reputations. And I want to go back and say something about that in a minute. But it's about protecting reputations. It's about promoting honesty in all interactions. That's what this commandment is about. It's grounded in God's truthful nature. That's important to understand. The ninth commandment, grounded in God's truthful nature. You know what Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 teaches us, don't you? It teaches us that God cannot lie. There's things that God is unable to do, and a lot of people just withdraw at such a statement as that. God can't reject a man who comes to him in repentance and faith to be saved, can he? That's something God can't do. It violates his very nature. And so there's several things like that that can be said God can't do. That's not to take a strike at God or to lessen his deity or his sovereignty, but God's very nature dictates that he acts and conducts himself in certain ways all of the time. God never changes. We know that. The Bible says he cannot change, right? And so when it comes to lying, God cannot lie. And this ninth commandment that deals with bearing false witness or lying about your neighbor, it's rooted, it's grounded in God's truthful nature. I want to look at really three different things. I want to look at really what it means to be false witness, what the Bible says about false witness. Just look at two different scripture examples of that. Then we're going to go to truth, what the Bible says about the importance of truth. Speaking truth one to the other. And then finally, we're going to finish up looking at gossip. And you might think, well, the verse didn't say anything about gossip. Well, it's implicit in the verse. It's implicit. Gossip, more times than not, do you know what it winds up being? It winds up being a lie, more times than not. And so we'll look at those three things. Concerning a false witness, I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Excuse me, we'll read down through verse number 19. This is a familiar few verses for you, I'm sure. But what we learn here, among other things that God hates, we learn that God hates a lying tongue, and God hates a false witness. Verse number 16 of Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look. Look at what made number two, a lying tongue. God's not just displeased with a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. And I'll remind you of a great truth here. There's no such thing as a little white lie. The smallest pearl white lie that's ever been told would have required Calvary, would have required the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And anything that would require the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ shouldn't be minimized, shouldn't be powdered up and dressed up to try to make look less sinful and less offensive than it is. The smallest, whitest lie in the world is no small white lie. They're dark, wicked, terrible, sinful, destructive lies. He hates a lying tongue. Continuing in verse 17, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Look at verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. How about that? A false witness that speaketh lies. And his double first cousin follows him on that list, and he that soweth discord among brethren. A false witness that speaketh lies, do you know what he inevitably does? He sows discord among brothers. One of the most dangerous things that a person can do is lie. So here's the thing about it. You've heard this said before. It'll be reiterated now. For a thief, you can buy a bigger lock, right? I mean, if you want to spend enough money, you can stop a thief. But what do you do for a liar? You can't do anything for a liar. And people that go, it's one thing to lie about how big a fish you caught, Brother Boozer. It's one thing to lie about things like that you might say don't hurt anybody. It's still a lie. It's still a sin. It still calls Calvary. But I want you to know that there's something more dark and atrocious about a lie that's told on another person. You tell a lie and you know that it's not the truth, and you tell something that's untrue about another person in an effort to cause other people to view that person differently. Do it in an effort to cause harm to that person's reputation, to cause people to think that there's something wrong with the character or testimony of that person. That's very, very dark and very wicked. God hates a lying tongue. He hates a false witness. I heard a tale one time, and I don't know if this is just a proverb or it actually happened, but said that one fellow was a Native American Indians, and one had told some lies on the other, and he'd come to a place where he regretted what he had said, and he wanted to do what he could to make it right. And so he went to the man and he said, "You know that I've told thus and thus on you, and I want to apologize to you, and I want to know what I need to do to make it right." And the man told him, "I accept your apology." He said, "In order to make it right, I need you to get a pillowcase full of feathers, and I need you to go to the doorstep of every person that you told the lie to, and I need you to lay a single feather on their doorstep. And when you've made the complete round and laid a single feather on the doorstep of every person you told that lie to about me, then go back to the first doorstep and start collecting the feathers. And when you fill your pillowcase back up with all of those feathers that you put out, then it'll be made right." The man who told the lies, who is now apologizing and desiring to make it right, he said, "You know that that's an absolute impossibility." He said, "Why, by the time I got to the second house, even in all likelihood, the wind would have blown the feather from the first doorstep off. And there's no way, if I were to make a round and put a feather on the doorstep of every house that I told that lie to, there's no way I'd ever be able to collect all of those feathers. And he said, that's my point exactly. That's exactly how fast the lie travels. You cannot make right what you've done. You understand the point of that. You may be truly remorseful and repentant, and you may be forgiven. But when you tell a blatant, bald-faced lie that attacks the character of another person, you can never make that right. There's no way to go back and make that right. A preacher from years ago, I heard him say that the tongue, and James says this, that the tongue is a very dangerous thing. It's set on fire of hell. It's what James said. And the tongue is the most dangerous weapon of the human body. And that's why God put it behind two gates. He put it behind the ivory gate and a gate of flesh, two lips, that it might be contained. But yet we still are unable to contain them. We put bits in the horse's mouth and we direct it where to go. We put a helm on the ship and we direct the ship where to go. James said, but we can't bridle the tongue. Can't bridle the tongue. It's a dangerous thing. Regardless of what somebody has done, regardless of what you think of them, you should never, ever tell something. And right now I'm just dealing with false witness. We'll get to gossip and things in a minute. But you should never knowingly tell something that's not true about anybody. God hates that. God absolutely hates that. You say, well, God don't hate me. Well, that's very close to it. And I'd hate to be a child of God and claim to be washed in the blood of Christ and tell a lie on one of God's dear children. Then you have Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5, deals with false witness again. Turn over there. Proverbs 19, verse number 5. We'll read this verse and then move on to truth and what the Word of God has to say about truth. Proverbs 19, verse number 5. The Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You do understand that there's a judgment day coming, and we're going to be separated, lost from saved. We won't be at the great white throne judgment. We'll stand at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ. And did you know that we're going to give an answer? I'm not telling you what a Baptist professor told me. I'm telling you what the Word of God tells all of us. Will everyone stand before God one day, and we'll give an account for every idle word that came out of our mouth, and we'll give an account for every lie that we've ever told, every false witness that we've ever borne against anybody, intentionally or unintentionally. We've been dealing about what, to this point in the message, and we'll transition here in a little bit, but we've dealt primarily with intentionally and knowingly telling a lie. But you'll stand at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, and if you're a gossiper and you go around talking without knowing, do you know what will happen? You'll give an answer for that. You'll give an answer for spreading lies, untrue things about people in the form of gossip. Now, the Word of God is very serious about it. A false witness shall not be unpunished. That deals with the concept of the false witness and what God thinks about a false witness. False witness is simply telling lies, telling untruth. Let's look at what a premium God puts on truth and how God expects His children to be promoters, practitioners of truth. All of this, again, is rooted in God's truthful nature. We'll go over into the New Testament to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 9 and 10. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Colossae. So this is speech given to believers, how saved brothers and sisters are supposed to interact one with the other. Verse 9 and 10 is where we'll be. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. What does that mean? We'll read the next verse. But he says we're not supposed to lie one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, it follows to reason that if you have put off the old man, in other words, been born again, if you are saved, and the Holy Ghost lives in you, it simply follows. It's only rational, only natural that you would cease to lie, and especially to lie on your brother's lie, not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You'll never, listen to this, you will never look more like the devil than when you lie. What did the devil do the first time he ever interacted with mankind? He lied. The Bible says he's a liar and what? The father of lies. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look like the devil. But that's exactly who we look like when we go around promoting lies, especially on the brethren. Verse number 10, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Do you want to know who you'll look more like than anybody else when you're an absolute practitioner of truth? I just told you, when you lie, you'll never look more like the devil than when you lie. When you are an absolute practitioner of truth, come what may, you'll never look more like Christ. You'll never look more like our Lord than when you're an absolute practitioner of truth. Have you ever read in your New Testament about some of the pickles that Christ was in, where most of us would have wiggled and squirmed and tried to find a way to pretty it up and to say something a little more pleasant, a little more nice? And he was always 100% truthful in all instances, in all situations. And that's why it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, or renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You speak truth, you speak like God. You speak truth, you speak like Christ. Everybody's not going to love truth, but God loves truth. And when we get in the habit of lying for convenience, we do that to suit ourselves or to suit our hearers, never in an effort to suit God. So that's Colossians 9 and 10. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 25. Again, dealing with the subject of truth, especially as it relates to New Testament believers in the family of God. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 25. He's just mentioned in verse number 24, we won't read it, but he's talked about putting on the new man that's created after God in righteousness and true holiness. So he's talking about a man is born again, new creature in Christ Jesus, and he says, wherefore, verse 25. And the same word is therefore, meaning as a consequence of what was just said. In other words, just exactly what Colossians 3 and 10 said. Since you're saved, he says, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, since you're saved, since you're born again, since you know God, since the Holy Ghost lives in you, don't live like lost people. Don't behave like lost people. And one of the most ungodly ways you can act, again, and look, favor the devil more than any other time, is when you're dishonest, and especially when you're dishonest with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. He said, we're not to do that. We're to put away lying. What does this teach us? He, again, he's not writing to the Black Panthers here. He's not writing to the Democrat Party or the LGBTQ community. He's writing to a local New Testament Baptist church is who he's writing to. Do you think the Holy Ghost would have nudged him to put this in here if he didn't know that saved church folk would have a propensity to want to lie one to another? He put it in there because we're subject to it. He put it in there because we're subject to it. And he knew that the pull would be there from that old man, that Adamic nature, and he cautions us against it. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Do you know what I owe you? I owe you something. I owe you to speak truth to you. God help me as your pastor. Every time I come to this pulpit, I've preached a decent message or two around here, and I've preached several. It was probably flops. But every time I've ever come to this pulpit, you know what I've made a wholehearted effort to do? Tell you the truth. And when I get out from behind this pulpit and we go to the fellowship hall or stand there and talk or on the telephone or anywhere else, when I speak to you, do you know what I still owe you? I owe you the truth. Whether it's by way of preaching from behind the pulpit or just conversationally, whatever the subject may be, I owe you truth. Do you know what you owe one another? You owe one another truth. Always speak truth one with another. And do you know, in the world oftentimes, truth is disregarded in an effort to climb some ladder, because what do they say? It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's every man for himself. And men will lie on other men to try to get ahead and push the competition back or hold them down. Oftentimes in the church, do you know what we do? We lie, but we don't lie in an effort to get ahead in a dog-eat-dog race or to hold somebody down. We will lie to people because we don't want to hurt them, don't want to hurt their feelings, don't want to offend them. Well, that's a noble ambition, to not want to desire to hurt somebody's feelings, to offend them in any way. We never want to do that. But never should we avoid that at the expense of sacrificing truth. Never do you do that. You owe it to your brothers and sisters to tell them the truth. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. You tell them the truth. And a family, listen, I've told my children this many times, and I hope they remember it. But you know what I've told them? At the end of the day, all you've got is family. At the end of the day, that's all you got is family. But when it comes to this matter of being a child of God, the reality is sometimes that family is thicker and closer and has a more genuineness and realness about it than those who share our same last name and have our blood in their veins. And I'm saying to you, as a local New Testament church, don't ever sacrifice truth, even when the truth is not pleasant. Now, I'm not telling you to go and clean everybody's plow and masquerade as being a truth angel. That's not what I'm talking about. You gotta have discernment and discretion. But the reality is that there's times that truth needs to be spoken. Truth needs to be spoken. Just a day or two ago, somebody was telling me about a Baptist church in North Mississippi. And the pastor has a daughter, adult daughter, who has come out as being part of the gay community, says she's lesbian. And so my understanding was she'd come to church with her wife and sit down on the front pew with an adopted child in between them. And my understanding is everybody just loved up on them. Now listen, I'm going to be explicitly clear. Don't leave out of here saying I said something I didn't say. If I say it, you're welcome to go tell anybody you want to. You ought to love everybody, regardless of how their depravity manifests itself in them, whether it's through drunkenness or stealing or lying or homosexuality or you fill in the blank. But somebody ought to love that girl enough to talk to her and tell her, "Hun, we love you and we care about your soul. And we want you to know that you've got your toes overhanging the precipice of hell. That you would be so full of Satan himself to darken the doors of the house of God and sit in front of your daddy, smirk in his face with your lesbian lover and your adopted son just out of spite." Somebody ought to have done that. But don't nobody want to hurt anybody's feelings, you understand? And you know what you do at that point? Not only did you do that girl a disservice, but you made you a big old placard, climbed a ladder and went out front right underneath the steeple, hung a sign that said "Ichabod" is what you done. Because God's not working there. If you will allow that sort of blatant disrespect and irreverence, again, not to be, listen, if a homosexual came to this service tonight, you know what I'd do? I'd shake their hand and tell them I'm glad you're here, and I'd preach the Word of God to them. That's exactly what I'd do. And I'd let them know that I love them just as much as I love you. But there's a difference in somebody who comes and does that and rubs it in the face of God's people and their own daddy out of spite. There is a difference there. There's an absolute difference there. I've seen situations in churches. Listen, hear me now. I've seen in churches where a young lady, 15 and 16 years old, conceives a child out of wedlock. And the first thing some of the ladies in the church do is go and hug their neck and congratulate them. Congratulate them. Preacher shouldn't have to give disclaimers for everything he says, but the day and hour we live in, you do. Do you know what a church ought to do for a young girl like that? They ought to draw closer to her than they've ever been. They ought to let her know that they don't think that she has to play the role of a harlot the rest of her life. And they ought to let her know that they'll love her and they'll love that baby and they'll do everything they can to aid her and assist her to try to raise that baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the very last thing they need to do is somebody go and hug her neck and congratulate her on playing the role of a harlot and committing fornication and conceiving a child out of wedlock and carrying what the Bible calls a bastard child in her womb. Now that shocks people when a preacher says that, but it's in the book of Hebrews. Read it. That's what the Word of God says. But we're so soft today, Brother Raymond. We're so politically correct. We're so scared of making somebody mad that we'll sacrifice truth that quick. We will sacrifice truth. You say, Brother Ronnie, what should we do? I've already said what you ought to do. You ought to love the child. You say, I'm awkward. I don't know what to say. Go to her and tell her you love her. And tell her you'll pray for her. And tell her if she needs a babysitter, that you'll help her. That's what you do. You be there for her, but you don't ever move one centimeter off of the truth of God's Word. You don't reward sin. You do not reward sin. And that's the culture we live in today. God puts an absolute premium on truth because truth is a fundamental character of His very nature. And if we claim to know God and claim for the Holy Ghost to be living in us, we are to speak truth with all men and especially with our brothers, those who are in the family of God with us. So we've looked at what it means to be false witness, to speak a false witness. We spoke about what the Bible says about truth, the premium that God puts on truth. Now I want to say two things about gossip and we'll be done. Tie gossip into this ninth commandment. Ninth commandment teaches us that we're not to bear false witness on our neighbor. For the most part, when we've talked about being a false witness, we've talked about deliberately and knowingly telling something that's untrue. That can be done by way of gossip, but more often than not, what's done by way of gossip is somebody inadvertently, and that's a nice way of saying it, tells lies on people because they're repeating stuff that they don't know to be true. Repeating things that they don't know to be true. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. We want to turn there. Proverbs 11 and 13. We're going to look at this verse and then another verse in Leviticus concerning gossip. And we'll be done. Proverbs 11 and verse number 13. The Bible calls a gossiper oftentimes a talebearer. Proverbs 11 and 13. The Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. A talebearer is a gossiper. It's those that go about repeating what they've heard, not really always knowing whether it's true or not, but it was juicy. So they thought they'd share. Now my mama, before she got saved, one of the worst gossipers I ever knew. And I hate to say that about my mama, but it's the gospel truth. Has it ever been told? And here's what she'd do, Miss Ann. She'd call somebody and she'd say, I'm going to tell you this, but don't you tell nobody. And when she told them, don't tell anybody, it wasn't because she wanted to keep it a secret. It's because she didn't want them to beat her to the next person. She wanted to tell everybody. She wanted to tell everybody, and God helped her with that. But I'm saying to you that God has an explicit command here that we're not to be a talebearer. It says a talebearer revealeth secrets. Listen. Everything don't need to be told, especially something that's not true. But even things that are true don't always need to be told. There's things about me, and I'm going to trust that there's some things about you that's absolutely true that you'd just assume the rest of us didn't know tonight. Hey, some things in your past that you'd just assume nobody knew about. Wished you could forget about it. There's some things that's in your life right now that you're trying to work on, praying God to help you work on it, and you'd be embarrassed if folk knew about it tonight. You don't need people tail-bearing, do you? So why would we do that to other people? Why would we tail-bear on them? It says the tail-bearer revealeth secrets, but look at this. But he that's of a faithful spirit, that's a good man. That's a godly man. He that's of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. That means it stops with him. That means it goes no further. That means he doesn't repeat. He doesn't share. He doesn't call you and tell you, I'm going to tell you this, but don't you tell anybody else. No, it stops there. Why? Because it could be a lie. Because it could be a lie. It's a dangerous thing for you to ever repeat anything, no matter who it is that told you. If you don't know it to be a fact, you ought to just hold it. You ought to just store that away somewhere. Because you don't want to be guilty of spreading a lie on somebody. And listen, there's certain truth you don't want to be guilty of spreading on people. What did it say about that man? He that's of a faithful spirit, what does he do? He conceals a matter. There's some things that you might know about other people. You don't need to tell it. It's true and you know it's true and they know it's true. But it don't need to be told. That's what the Bible's talking about right there. We ought not go share every juicy little tidbit that comes along just for the sake of somebody knowing that we know something, for somebody to know that we're in the know, that we've got the scoop. That's not necessary. Matter of fact, it's ungodly. It's unwicked. It's not Christ-like. It's not holy. It's displeasing to God Almighty. Now, we ought not be guilty of such thing as that. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. This will be our last verse we'll look at. Leviticus 19 and 16. Another caution about the tailbearer. Leviticus 19, verse number 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tailbearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Sounds like those tailbearers operated yonder in Leviticus the same way they did when Paul was writing them pastoral epistles. They was busy going to and fro. And Paul gave them a little caution. He said, what you need to do is unbusy yourself with everybody else's business. You spend very little time at home. You're so busy. They didn't have Facebook. I couldn't sit on the couch and share it. And they had to run to one another's house. And tell it. And he said, what you need to do is work with your own hands and mind your own business and don't worry about everybody else's business. You know, here's the fact of the matter, folks. We'll do very well to run to manage our own lives without getting any deeper involved in other people's lives than what God puts us in their lives. You understand what I mean by that? If you can be a blessing, if you can be a help, if you can be an encouragement, in some way to somebody and be involved in their life that way, that's one thing. But it's a whole other thing to go getting all in somebody else's life, being a tailbearer, a gossiper, spreading things on them when you really don't even know if they're true or not. And even if you do know them to be true, everybody's business is nobody's business. You'll do very well. You'll do very well to run your own life. You'll never stand at that judgment seat of Christ. And God look at you. God will never look at me and say, I wish you'd have stuck your nose in Brother Boozer's business a little bit more. And he'll never look at Brother Boozer and say, you should have stuck your nose in the preacher's business a little bit more. What I owe him is to tell him the truth and to pray for him. What he owes me is to tell me the truth and pray for me. This matter of gossiping, I tell you, it's a dangerous thing. It's wounded a lot of people. I'll tell you something else. It's destroyed a lot of churches. It's destroyed churches just as good as this church. People gossiping. It can wreak havoc on relationships, on families, on churches, communities. It can do irreparable damage. And gossip, in essence, is a breach of the ninth commandment. Because I would dare to say that 90%+ of the gossip that comes out of people's mouth, they can't actually substantiate whether it's true or not. but it sounds good. So they repeat it. And God help us. That's a sin. Not to bear false witness against our neighbor. God help us to speak truth with every man. We owe everybody, every lost man in this world, we owe him the truth. We owe him the truth of the gospel. To tell him the truth of the gospel. To give it to him on every occasion that we have. And we especially owe it one to another. To be truthful. To be honest. We name the name of Christ. And there's nothing more Christ-like. There's nothing more godly than to speak truth with every man. God help us do that. All right, let's bow our head and pray. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be here gathered together as a church family. God, I pray that you bless your word tonight. Lord, I pray for your people that they would take the word of God and then the preaching of the word of God tonight, Lord, that it would help us. Lord, there's probably nothing said tonight that we weren't already aware of to some degree or another, but God, thank you for encouraging us and reminding us of what it actually means to bear false witness against our neighbor. God, help us to be honest. Help us to be honest with everybody just as you've been honest with us. God, you've never lied to me. You cannot lie. And Lord, I claim your name, claim to know you. Help us, Lord, to be honest with every man, regardless of situation, regardless of circumstance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.